If we need all our wounds healed before we can know the presence of God or be useful to God, then God help us. And if we need to have dealt with all our anger before we can ever know God's help, what hope will there be for any? You can find God in the open wounds of your life. He will meet you there. He reaches out to you there.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I love that line. You can find God in the open wounds of your life. So nice to know that God can take the pain that we all face in life and that He meets us in the midst of that.
Yeah, and if that were not true, there would be no hope. So thank God that it is true, and that is the hope of the gospel. We don't need to be healed in order to come to Him. We come to Him in order to be healed. And we find that especially in the Psalms that we're looking at. Psalm 129, we're right in the middle of the journey of people who once were far from God, felt far from God. They were God's people, but they felt far from Him. They're trying to come and to seek His presence. And on the journey, they talk about their wounds. They actually say, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Plowmen have plowed my back." I mean, here's real pain, real wounds, and they're in the lives of God's people, and yet God's people are on their way to seek a fresh encounter with Him. Well, I think that speaks right into the reality of every wounded life today, and I hope that the Word of God's going to be healing as we open our hearts and our minds to it today.
So let's do just that. We're in Psalm 129, 30 and 31. Join us there as we begin a message from pain to peace. Here's Pastor Colin.
Well, will you please open your Bible at the book of Psalms as we return to our series today, Moving in the Right Direction. And today our title is Moving from Pain to Peace. And we're going to look at three Psalms altogether that really trace this journey. They are Psalms 129, Psalm 130, and Psalm 131. You'll notice that there is some definite movement that runs through them. Psalm 129 is clearly marked by a lot of anger. Psalm 130 has some marks of anxiety. And Psalm 131 is marked by acceptance. You notice again that all three of these psalms are entitled A Song of Ascents. They're part of this group of psalms that we're following as we think about what it means to move in the right direction in our lives. Do you know, it never ceases to amaze me how the scriptures speak to the whole of life. And they always bring help and hope and healing and light and understanding. All of us experience pain in some ways at some points in our lives. And when you do, I think you'll find these three psalms to be profoundly helpful. What they do is they really chart a course through the experience of suffering. If you think of pain as being a dark valley, these three psalms show us the path that takes us through it. They do that by giving us three very simple pictures of a believer's progress through the valley of suffering. If you can get the pictures in your mind, I think they'll stay with you, and I hope that they will be helpful. First, there's the picture of the open wound in Psalm 129 in verse 3. Notice that plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. So that's the first picture that we're going to think about today, an open wound. The second is the picture of an anguished cry. Psalm 130 in verse 1. Literally, this is a scream in the dark. "Oh, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." So an opened wound, an anguished cry, and then in Psalm 131, the third of these pictures, the weaned child, verse 2 of Psalm 131, "I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother." Now, these three pictures really map for us three distinct stages in the journey from pain to peace. And the connection between them really came home to me when I was thinking about an incident that happened in our home just a few weeks ago. We had the pleasure of having my wife's sister, along with her husband and their two little girls, with us over Christmas. Their two girls, Tanya, who is 6 years old, and Megan, who is just three. And they were here for a couple of weeks, and we had a marvelous time over Christmas with them until the night before they were due to fly back to Britain. We were all at home that evening, and we had finished eating, and the adults were upstairs still sitting talking round the table. You know how it is, and the kids had gone downstairs to play. Then all of a sudden, and I'll never forget it, we heard this loud thud, the kind that parents always dread hearing, and it was immediately followed by the loudest of screams. And we rushed downstairs to find that Tanya had tripped. She had rushed forward. She had tripped over her own feet. And she had fallen forward headlong onto a glass table, which mercifully had not shattered. But the result was that her teeth had cut deep into her lip, and immediately we knew that she was in very serious trouble. Well, my brother-in-law used to work at a leisure center and has been well-trained in accident and emergency. I tell you, I was impressed big time with his ability of knowing what to do in a crisis. He got the bleeding under control, and then we all headed down to the hospital. Got to tell you, the folks there were absolutely magnificent. They did a wonderful job. Tanya needed 16 stitches, and the dental surgeon removed the four of her front top teeth that had been displaced by the impact of the fall. It's not easy to know how to eat when you are 6 years old and you have 16 stitches newly put in your mouth. And so we were all very thankful for smoothies. This is today's hot tip, which was the one thing that went down really rather well. Now think about these three pictures. One, the open wound. None of us actually saw what happened to Tanya. It happened in secret. Something terrible happened that was hidden from us, but the result of it was an open wound. Second, the anguished cry. The first we knew about this was the scream that came from our living room. Someone was in trouble and desperately needed help. And then third, the weaned child. Last direct picture I have in my mind of Tanya was at the airport where we all sat down before saying goodbye, and Tanya was eating her smoothie before going through security control, really very calm, hand in hand with her mum and dad. And a few days later, the family emailed us this picture, which we were so relieved to see. We couldn't believe how much what had been really massive swelling on her lip had gone down within a very, very few days. And knowing that her new front teeth would come in at least within a reasonable period of time, we were relieved to know that she was content and at peace and well on the way to recovery. The open wound, the anguished cry, the weaned child. Now that's the path that we will chart through the valley of suffering. Now I hope you have your Bible open, because you want to know where this is in your Bible and to feel that it's got into you, because you will find this deeply helpful when you come to the dark valley in whatever shape or form that is in your life. First then, Psalm 129, the open wound. Now the whole of this psalm really is about open wounds and painful experiences. Notice it begins, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth." Let Israel say, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth." So this is primarily a statement of the suffering of Israel as a nation, which of course has been extraordinary over the years. "They have oppressed me from my youth." That's obviously a reference to the time in Egypt where Israel experienced the first Holocaust in the murder of infant children. Israel was a nation conceived in slavery and then born homeless in a desert. Derek Kidner has a marvelous comment here. He says, "Most other nations look back on what they have achieved. Israel reflects here on what she has survived." Maybe true of some of us. A lot of folks bragging about what they've achieved. Maybe some of us look back on what we have survived. It's a wonderful thing. You see the marvelous statement of survival in verse 2. "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me." That's marvelous. Then we have this extraordinary picture of suffering in verse 3. "Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long." Now, you see what this picture is. If you imagine an old-fashioned plow, you've got the animal at the front, you've got the guiding handles and the blade of the plow that cuts the furrow in the ground, and behind that you have the farmer who is guiding the plow so that it makes the furrow in the right place in the ground. And he walks along behind the animal that is pulling the sharpened blade that is digging into the ground and plowing a furrow. And what the psalmist says is this. Do you know what it feels like to me? It feels like I'm lying face down on the ground. And the plowman is coming and guiding the blade right over my back and plowing it up like a furrow. And not only is he plowing up my back, but he's plowing long, long furrows up the whole length of me. Well, that's enough description, isn't it? I mean, it makes you wince even to think about it. This is an extraordinary picture of great suffering and prolonged pain that clearly results in deep and open wounds. And some of you, no doubt, are saying right now, I've been there. I've been there. Now, I think it's significant that the psalmist says, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. He's talking, obviously, about pain that goes back for years. And maybe there are open wounds in your life that have come through things that happened, maybe unseen, in secret, that happened years ago, and they plowed you. I think it's significant that he talks about the length of the furrows. They have plowed not just deep furrows, but long furrows. Sometimes we endure pressure and strain and stress in life for a time, and we handle it well. But then eventually, the sheer relentlessness of it all causes open wounds to break out. Now, it seems that the psalmist has come to the end of the particular trauma that he's describing when he writes these words. If you look at verse 4, it says, "The Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked." So again, if you imagine the picture of this wicked plowman who is causing this agony plowing over the psalmist's back, he says, "The Lord has cut the cords of the wicked." He's referring to the cords, you see, that were used in this wicked way, tying the animal to the plow. And the cords are cut, so the animal moves on, but the blade is left still. So the plowing up that he has endured has now ceased. And so the psalmist gets up off the ground where he's been lying, and his wounds are open and agonizing. And what happens then? He's angry. See, the Bible's so wonderful, isn't it? Speaks to your life and to mine just as our lives are. If someone plows you up, then when you get up, you're going to be angry too. You see, he says that in verse 5. "May they be turned back in shame. May they be like grass that withers. May they not experience the blessing of the Lord." Now, think with me for a moment about the wonderful significance of God putting this psalm in the Bible. God has given us a psalm written by a man with open wounds. The Holy Spirit inspired a man with open wounds to be a communicator of the Word of God. I find that wonderfully helpful. You see, it's easy to get the idea that wherever there are open wounds, this must mean that God is distant. But what we find here is that God is speaking through open wounds, that through the psalmist's open wounds, the ministry of the Spirit comes to us today. That God is present in the pain, that God is present in the open wounds of your life. And you know, in a broken world, it may just be the open wounds of your life that put you in a position to minister to others. Jesus ministered in his pain, from his pain, through his pain. So did the Apostle Paul. Open wounds don't make you useless to Christ. They may be the very key to how he will use you most distinctly in life and ministry.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we have to pause here for just a moment. But our message, From Pain to Peace, is part of a larger series on the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Our series is called Moving in the Right Direction. And if you're interested in a copy of this series on CD, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I think it's also very significant that God is clearly present. The Holy Spirit is present, speaking while this man is angry. Now, there are always discussions about how much of the anger in the Psalms is righteous anger and how much of it is the kind of anger that we need to get over. Well, you can make your own decision here, which is really a nice way of saying, I don't really know. But either way, I want to suggest to you that the significant thing here is that this man is angry and that God is with him in his anger. Thank God for that. If we need all our wounds healed before we can know the presence of God or be useful to God, then God help us. And if we need to have dealt with all our anger before we can ever know God's help, what hope will there be for any? You can find God in the open wounds of your life. He will meet you there. He reaches out to you there. And the psalmist does precisely the right thing for a wounded person. He pours out his wounds in the presence of God. That's where the path from pain to peace begins. And if you're finding it difficult to do that yourself alone, then find someone else who can help you do it. Someone you can talk to about these wounds who will, one, listen and then pray. Who listen to you as you're able to express that, but then will help you to bring the wounds and the anger that resulted from them to God. And you know, if you should be, as it were, on the other side of that conversation and should be so privileged that someone should come to you and should begin to share deep wounds, be a good listener. And don't just be a good listener. Try in the most sensitive way possible to help be the very one who will facilitate bringing that to God. Because he's the only one who can reach us and heal us there. Now that's the first picture. Open wounds. Don't let your mind run with the idea that this makes you useless to God. It may actually be the very place from which God gives you ministry. Second, the anguished cry. Three pictures that are taking us through the valley. First, the open wound. Second, the anguished cry. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. And then notice what he says next. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Now you'll see that between these two psalms, there's been a movement of focus. The first is focused around the theme of pain, suffering, open wounds. But Psalm 130 moves on from there and focuses particularly on the matter of sins. You'll see that runs right through and, in fact, is the last word of the psalm in verse 8. He will redeem Israel from all their sins. Now, I think that this is very significant because it explodes the myth of the innocent sufferer. You see, there has only ever been one truly innocent sufferer in all the history of the world. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is no such thing as truly innocent suffering. Now, we talk a lot, of course, about innocent suffering, but instinctively, we know that there are deeper realities wherever there's trouble. Just the other Sunday morning, I had the privilege of talking with someone who was visiting our church. I think it was the first time that they were here. He told me in just a very few seconds his story. It was a story of extraordinary tragedy and loss. And my heart really, really went out to him. He told me in just a few seconds, and then he got to the one question that he really wanted to ask, and it was this. Pastor, do you think that God is punishing me? Now, which of us has not at some time asked that question? See, when we suffer, frankly, that is the most natural question in the world. None of us has a completely clear conscience. We all know that we're not what God calls us to be. And in normal life, we live with this tension. But then when something goes terribly wrong, that question rears its ugly head and we can't put it down. Is this the consequence of something I have done? And let's face it, it's hard to avoid sin at any time in your life, but it is especially hard to avoid sin when you're suffering. When you suffer, you become angry. Anger in itself isn't wrong. God says to us, in your anger, do not sin. I think the truth is that in our anger, most of us sin quite a bit, actually. We slide into self-pity. We harbor resentment. We rail against God. We sin in our suffering. And of course, that makes the whole problem worse, because if you or I were to go through suffering knowing that we were absolutely right in every respect, then it would be a little easier. But the truth is that we are not. So God seems to be distant in our suffering, and sometimes we wonder in the darkest places if we are really Christian at all. I think most of us, at some point of our lives, will say, been there. Been there.
I know I've been there. And as Pastor Cullen pointed out, probably all of us can relate. Well, it's good to know that the Bible speaks to all of our emotions, even pain and anger. Today's message is called From Pain to Peace, part of a series called Moving in the Right Direction. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God. And Colin, I got to tell you, when I hear the title like that, it kind of catches me off guard just a little bit.
It's a really provocative and I think brilliant title. The book, of course, is about the story of the prodigal son, the best-known story, I think, that our Lord Jesus ever told. But the title, The Prodigal God, you think, what can that possibly mean? The son went off the rails. That's not true about God. But right at the beginning of the book, there's a definition of the word prodigal. Prodigal means relentlessly extravagant or having spent everything. And you see, that's a description of God, relentlessly extravagant in his grace, spending everything for us and sending his own son to deliver us from the state that we're in. And what this story does, it does much more than tell the story of two sons, one who went away and the other who stayed at home. It focuses on the sheer glory and wonder of the extravagant grace of God that is poured out for every person, whether that person be someone who's pursuing a model life or whether it be someone who's pursued a rebellious life. The grace of God in all of its beauty and all of its extravagance is extended towards us. Steve, I couldn't put this book down. It's beautifully written. It's absolutely compelling, and it is full of the grace of God.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, The Prodigal God, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. And if you've never given a gift to Open the Bible before, this would be a great time to give, because not only will we send you a copy of this book, The Prodigal God, but thanks to the generosity of a supporter, we're able to take your first-time donation and double it this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? Most people can think of someone, and many are finding that someone in their life is open to this invitation. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that will help you open the Bible with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible has 15 short sections, each with 5 discussable questions that will open conversations around the Word of God. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.